The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. At the close of last week's Gospel reading, St. Luke reported, "When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time." Out in the wilderness, the devil had not succeeded in diverting Jesus from his mission. But he didn't give up. To the very end of Jesus' life, the devil continued to tempt him to abandon his mission. Even as he hung dying on the cross, Jesus heard, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross, and we will believe." The events of our text come before that. Yet as Jesus' earthly ministry was nearing its end, he had revealed to his disciples that he must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. He had set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was his goal. And yet he wasn't making a beeline for that city. As he traveled, he continued ministering to people, teaching them about the kingdom of God, casting out demons, performing cures. His hour was coming quickly, but it had not yet arrived. As Jesus was ministering to the people, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." It's strange to hear that Pharisees were concerned about Jesus' welfare, isn't it? For some time now, they had been watching Jesus carefully. They had been trying to trap him with difficult questions. They hoped to assemble evidence with which to accuse him, or at least to discredit him among the people. This wasn't just a friendly warning. In effect, the Pharisees were functioning as agents of Satan, trying to divert Jesus from his mission, trying to get him to abandon his work. That this is the case is clear from the way Jesus responds to them. "Pay attention now," he says. "I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course." He was going to keep on doing what he had been doing. No threat would cause him to turn aside from his work. In fact, Jesus wasn't afraid of Herod. He'd killed a baptizer, to be sure. Yet Jesus dismisses him as a mere fox. In contemporary Jewish writings, foxes were often compared unfavorably with lions. Lions were portrayed as powerful and fearsome creatures, but not foxes. As a fox, Herod might have been destructive, But his main characteristic, as Jesus puts it, is insignificant. He really didn't count for much. That's not all Jesus says, though. His response indicates that there is a goal toward which he is moving. The third day I finish my course, he says, or more literally, I am brought to my completion, my goal. Unspoken in this is that God is the agent who is bringing him to that goal. God is the one whose plan is being accomplished as Jesus continues on. He has no reason to fear Herod, for he knows that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be rejected by the chief priests and the elders and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. He says this to the Pharisees rather plainly in the next verse. He's not afraid of Herod. Nevertheless, he says, I must go my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. The time was short. He couldn't stay for long. He needed to go to Jerusalem because he was destined to die there. Jerusalem is the graveyard of the prophets. I wonder whether this didn't set those Pharisees back on their heels a bit. They had hoped to get Jesus to depart by reporting that Herod wanted to kill him. Some among them also had been discussing how they could destroy him. Now he tells them that he needs to go to Jerusalem, because that's the place prophets are killed. That is, because he needs to be killed there. He can't stay away because Jerusalem is the proper place for prophets to perish. He goes to Jerusalem by divine necessity. He is compelled to go there to die. We have not understood our text, however, if we see only that Jesus is going to Jerusalem to fulfill his destiny as the servant of the Lord, was going to Jerusalem to die at the hands of those to whom he had been sent, like so many prophets before him. He must go so that he is brought to his goal, the purpose of his coming. In this, he is following the sovereign will of God. But why? What is it that moves him to do this? Why is this a part of God's eternal plan? We see the answer in Jesus' lament. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you would not. It's love that compels Jesus to go to Jerusalem. It's love that compels him to try once again to gather his people together. He wants to protect them, wants to shelter them from the wrath that is to come because of their sins. He's not willing to give up on them. He doesn't want to abandon them. But they don't want him. As they refuse to hear the prophets, as they stone the servants of the Lord sent to call them to repentance, to turn away from their sins, and return to the Lord their God. So now they were also rejecting him. He wanted to find security and rest for them in him. They wanted to have nothing to do with him. They wanted to get rid of him, to kill him, so that they could do as they pleased. But still, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. Determined to go there to suffer and die for people who wanted nothing to do with him. Even in their rebellion against him, Jesus loved them. He wanted to give himself as the sacrifice for their sin. Wanted to submit to the punishment they had earned so that they need not endure it. That's why he so solemnly says, "Pay attention now. Your house is forsaken." Your house is forsaken. That is forsaken by God. God was leaving them to their own devices. The temple, the whole sacrificial system. The Lord would no longer be approachable through these. Only one way remained open. Only one way to God was available. Jesus, the Christ, the one who had come in the name of the Lord. Only in him would they see God. Only in him would God be gracious and merciful to them. Only in him would they receive forgiveness and life. Those of Jerusalem who welcomed Jesus with palms and hosannas, who shouted, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," saw the God who had come to save them. The 3,000 on Pentecost, who were cut to the heart when they heard that they had crucified the one who was both Lord and Christ. They blessed the one who had come in the name of the Lord, and they were saved. All who look to Jesus Christ as God, who by his innocent suffering and death has ransomed sinners from death and hell, all of them have forgiveness and life in his name. Jesus' words here are about you and me. You are among those whom he earnestly desires to gather together, to shelter under his outstretched arms, to protect with his holy hands. But like Jerusalem of old, our desire is all too often not for him. We idolize independence and self-determination. But he loves us nevertheless. And he died on the cross in our place, submitting himself to be forsaken by his Father, so that you and I need never experience such a fate. By his word, he graciously calls you to turn again to him, to trust in him as the one who has come in the name of the Lord, to rest under his care and protection. Jesus came for you. He came to give his life as a ransom for you from sin and death. He claimed you as his own when you were baptized, when by water with the word he washed away your sins. In the Holy Supper, he feeds you with his body and blood to forgive you anew and to strengthen you in the faith. By his Holy Spirit working through word and sacrament, he sanctifies you, makes you holy, and preserves you as his own. Because of all that Jesus did for you in love at Jerusalem and in his suffering and death on the cross, when the last day comes, you will be able to say with joy and eternal gladness, "Truly, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, for he is my Savior." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.